He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the 30th of August, and it's the Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite. We'll talk to him in a bit. Let's see where the market's at. What happened? Yeah, we were up this morning. Futures were up. Everything was looking good. Now the Dow's down 102 points, 31,996. Okay, I'm going to say that 32,000 is kind of a support level. I'd like to see us close above 32,000 today on the Dow, but I'm sure the market's not listening to me. The NASDAQ's down 45 to 11,969. And I was looking at 12,000 as a support level there on the NASDAQ. I'd like to see it close above that today. The S&P is down 17, 4,012. I see 4,000 as kind of an important psychological support level for the S&P 500, which has been under a little pressure here recently, thanks to our friends at the Fed. The Russell 2000 is down 6 points right now. Crude oil, which was up $4 yesterday, is down $4 today. Crude is at $92.70. There must be some recession talk once again out there, or fears. There's always recession fears, but sometimes they're worse than others. And that does show up in the crude oil markets from time to time. Silver's down 24 cents. Gold's down $8.20. How is, the 10 years at 3.07, we're down 4 basis points there. A little flight to safety. And Bitcoin's down, is up 208 to 20,298. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner Barry Kite, and we are starting off the week a little bit on the soft side after that big 1,000-point drop in the Dow on Friday. I called it the Jackson Hole plunge right into the Jackson Hole icy waters. The chill felt worldwide by really the kind of snarky attitude of our friend Jerome Powell, who said, prepare yourselves for pain.
The market ahead. Took its scolding, right?
Oh, boy. Pain ahead. Okay, well, you know, yesterday we had kind of a down day, but it wasn't that bad. We were just a little bit down for the day. The oil stocks did well yesterday. And then they are selling off here today. The Dow is sitting right on its 50-day moving average. That's important from a technical point of view. The S&P is also sitting on its 50-day moving average, right around 4,000. And the Dow, or the NASDAQ, 12,000, like I said, is important for the NASDAQ right now. The Fed concerns, I'm sure, continue to weigh on the market. You know, we had the big sell-off on Friday. Yesterday we had 9 of the 11 S&P 500 sectors posting a decline. It was the oil stocks that were one of the sectors that were up yesterday. We saw a big move in the uranium energy stocks. You had Centrus Energy, LEU, was up 16% yesterday. Denison Mines.
Yeah, that's either good or real bad, right? If uranium prices are
depends on what they're using the uranium right. for. And I have read recently that Iran has really amped up their work on, you know, enriched uranium, and I don't think they have peaceful designs with it myself. Uranium Energy, UEC, was up 14%. UUUU was up 12%. So uranium had a really good day yesterday. Now, I know here, I read a little article in our local paper last evening that Lindsey Graham and our Governor McMasters, they want to pursue nuclear energy in the state of South Carolina. I know we had kind of a fizzled effort with Dominion.
Yeah, right before, and that was kind of went on, I think, right before we moved here. But, I remember, like, getting the back end of all of that, basically a failed nuclear power construction.
Well, they're talking again about South Carolina being a nuclear state and selling our excess energy to states that need the power, mostly to the north of us, I would say. The energy sector was the top sector yesterday. It was up 2.1%, down today. Not sure why oil is down today. But there is a lot of stories today on oil. Yesterday it was LPL's financial chief giving five reasons for oil and gas stocks to continue their run higher. I guess a negative reason for dropping prices would be a recession, obviously, where demand drops, and there must be a little fear of that today. You know what? I mean, there's always drama coming from Elon.
the most recent barrage.
this whistleblower thing, you know, couldn't happen at a better time for him. Maybe he sought the guy out. I don't know. But, you know, it looks to me he's either wants out of the deal entirely with Twitter or he wants, you know, a much lower price. And, you know, things kind of keep turning up that are a little bit disturbing about Twitter. You know, the bots and how many fake accounts there are. And then this whistleblower coming forward and saying it was being used by bad actors and they didn't really have the means, or maybe the desire, I don't know, or the wherewithal to keep the bad actors out. He's using it for all it's worth, our friend Elon Musk, saying, you know what, that's just more proof that they hid a lot of things from us. From me, and, you know, I want those things, which, you know, I mean, you can't, he's entitled to see every, just like when you buy a home,
and all the
disclosures, right?
Right, and the price was hard to justify, you know, at the time. I mean, if you take all the drama out of it, even if, just think about how much the market in general has changed, right, since, you know, that deal initially, you know, potential deal was, you know, announced, and so, it's a different world, you know, regardless of, you know, if some of their numbers weren't, you know, with the bots and things of that nature. But, you know, even without all that, it's still, you know, it's a different investing world than it was a handful of months ago.
The multiple has decreased
a lot. Certainly.
Okay, now on the upside, I keep saying a stock to keep your eye on is Freer Battery. Freer. F-R-E-Y-R. It's missing a syllable or a vowel in there somewhere. But anyways, Freyr Battery from Norway signed a big deal. All these battery makers are coming to America, it seems like the land of opportunity in the battery making market is we're going to make a big push towards electric cars, especially California. Who won't allow any?
They have no choice.
No, they have no choice. So Freyr was up 12.8% this morning. Now it's up about 4% as the market goes south on us here. The Dow's down 151 right now. S&P down 20, about 0.5%. But Freyr finalized a deal with electric motor giant Nidec. I think they're out of Japan for a module and pack joint venture in the same time, cementing a previously agreed $3 billion sales order And they're looking to put a big battery plant somewhere. I heard Arkansas maybe or Alabama. You know, a lot of these smaller states are getting some pretty big players coming into their state. Texas, obviously, not such a small
state.
Well,
and from a tax standpoint, they attract it as well. So
yeah, I mean, these states are hanging out the bait, too, to attract them. Okay, and then on Twitter's side of the aisle, they said we didn't breach any obligations. They're calling Musk deal, I guess Musk wrote a formal deal termination letter today, which they say is invalid. So, you know what, this is going to go on and back and forth. I'm anxious to see what the whistleblower has to say, which we'll talk just a little bit about when we come back. Then there's a lot of stories on energy today. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 142, S&P down 22, about a half a percent. NASDAQ down a half a percent, also down 61. Let's take a look here. You know, Musk paid $54.20. That's what the deal was, $54.20. And right now, Twitter is at $39.48. So, you know what? I don't know what's going to have to happen.
It's been
here.
Lower, hasn't it? I think
it got down to 32 recently.
Right. Yeah.
I have no interest really in it, but it'll be interesting to see this guy coming forward, which could open a huge Pandora's box, this whistleblower. Okay, now, we are all focused on interest rates and what the Fed's going to do with the interest rate picture. But let's not forget, there's going to be a massive amount of quantitative tightening. Okay, when's the last time those two words were put together, quantitative and tightening?
Right, they got to reduce their balance sheet, which is going, you know, putting those bonds out on the market is going to, will bring prices down and yields up. And so that's one of the kind of tricky things that they've got to play out. It's not just raising the Fed funds rate, but it's also reducing all the balance sheet that they've accumulated as a purchaser of bonds over this period.
Yeah, and you know, that's all we've heard about for the last many years is QE this, QE that. You know, I don't know how many rounds.
Yeah, I never heard QT. It was just
nope.
The gas station. I
all
gas
of a sudden.
Until recently, right?
And you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that interest rates do not just go up and down with what the Fed does. I mean, there's the Fed funds rate, what is now at 2.75%, but, you know, the 10-year is at 3.11. Selling of bonds by the Fed, or if there's a panic in the bond market, you see everybody running to the sidelines, that drives interest rates up also.
Well,
the
market—that's how they got their balance sheet so high because they had to step in, right? Remember when everyone was running from the hills at the beginning of COVID in March of 2020? That they actually had to step in to create an orderly market for certainly for bond mutual funds.
Yes, and now they've got to unwind that because during the COVID years, they doubled their balance sheet from $4.2 trillion. To $9 trillion. Oh, and now they got to take it back the other direction. So, you know, I mean, look, anytime there's a bunch of selling that we know that has to be done, that puts extreme pressure on that asset. And most of their balance sheet is bonds, right? I think I don't know what percent of that $9 trillion is bonds.
Yeah, it's, I mean, most, I mean, a lot of it that they're going to be unwinding, right, is they're going to be, you know, I think they've, I mean, we can go through the balance sheet, but I think they've got, you know, mortgages, right? They've got certainly agency securities, and, you know, I know they bought corporates for a period of time. I don't know if, I'm not sure what they still have on the balance sheet there, but.
Well, a lot of them are just going to, are going to mature.
Mm-hmm. And just roll off, right? Yep.
And, you know, on the surface, you know, the Fed funds rate, and that's very transparent. We see that. But underneath the surface, very opaque, is the quantitative tightening. After initial few months at a slower pace, monthly caps for offloading treasuries and mortgage-backed securities are set to double to $60 billion and $35 billion, respectively. So they're going to increase their pace, you know, of unwinding their balance sheet. So just something else to keep you up at night and worry about. Interest rates are going to be a big issue going forward. We're in a rising interest rate environment. Nothing has changed. And obviously we're in an inflationary environment, or we wouldn't have seen the stark words and direct words coming from the mouth of Jerome Powell last Friday. German inflation hits a 13-year high in August, driven by higher energy and food prices. Those seem to be the two biggest culprits, energy number one, food number two. But the fact of the matter is it's a global problem that has hit. It's not just us.
Right. I think it was Goldman that I saw. I think it was this morning in terms of what they kind of project the UK's inflation rate to be, 22% by
what?
I think it was by January or by next January.
Oh,
it was,
man.
I'll have to pull it up. It was,
and they're going to have a beer shortage.
Right. They got a beer shortage and a power shortage.
Talk about a double whammy. 22% inflation and no beer at the pubs because of the ammonia issue.
Right.
Closing, cracking down on the ammonia plants that are releasing too much carbon dioxide into the air. And of course, the byproduct of ammonia is CO2, which are the bubbles in my Mountain Dew every morning. Okay, and you know, another thing I'm seeing here, well, Goldman Sachs says, don't worry, there's no recession out there. And that's comforting to hear. I'm sure they've got a pretty good feel for things with all. You know, they get kind of the best coming out of the colleges and whatnot, even though they work them to death. But Goldman Sachs says, you know, recession risks are overblown in the near term. So they like commodities. And I can only say, as an observer of the market every day, deep in the market, looking at thousands of charts every day, DBC, we've kind of gone back, like I said yesterday, where we were earlier this year, where commodities, that DBC commodity index, you know, which includes food, which includes energy, which includes your basic material like copper and iron ore and all this and that, that thing has risen considerably after a steep sell-off. I had to get rid of it. I owned it in my best funds now and had a nice profit in it, sold it when it started to plunge on inflation fears, fear of a recession. It's gone, went from 30 to 24, 20% correction, and now it's climbing again. So they like commodities. They think commodities, especially European gas prices, they think they're going higher. Okay, there's a lot of fossil fuel stories here today. Let's just begin with this one, and then we'll get to the others. Every one of them is bullish on fossil fuel prices. Musk even weighed in on fossil fuels. Okay, here's the Liberty CEO. He's in the drilling business. He says that fossil fuels will dominate energy for at least 30 more years. And we've talked about that a lot on this show, about the long transition. Now, there's those that are trying to speed it up, like in California, in Michigan, other places. I want to talk about Michigan today and what they're up to. But 30 more years, fossil fuels dominate. That's what the Liberty CEO says, Chris Wright. What does Elon Musk have to say about oil when we come back? This is Bill Gunderson and Murray Kite, Best Talk Now Show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wow, the Dow down 280 now. This is on top of the 150 it was down yesterday, and the 1008 it was down on Friday. The NASDAQ's now down 145. It was down 0.5%. Now it's down 1.4%. I'm going to guess it's fear of the Fed. And I haven't seen, you know, the reason. There's always a reason. Somebody's come up with a reason. In general, it's either a fear of a global slowdown or fear of the Fed. Those usually are the leading candidates for why the market is selling off right now. I've also seen, I think, oil being down $4 per barrel after being up $4 yesterday. Maybe that's just a little bit, you know, foretelling a recession down the road. So anyways, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, and I think the volumes has been this time of the year, volumes are real very low. I think six of the lowest volume days, the top 10 lowest volume days this year have been rather recent.
So yeah, we got Labor Day weekend this week. We're all looking forward to that. So maybe the, I don't know. Anyways, well,
maybe at the end of the sell in May and go away, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so now here you've got the guy. If anybody should speak badly of oil and gas and want it eradicated from the world, it would be Elon Musk, because it's in his best interest, being the CEO and founder of the world's largest electric vehicle company. He says the world needs more oil and gas. Well, and he advocates nuclear power. You know, he was even giving forecasts of how civilization will come to an end. He says the world must continue to extract oil and gas in order to sustain civilization. Well, I believe that. You got to heat your home if you live, in Norway or Iceland or something like that. Well, and you got to have the fertilizer to put food on your table, which comes from natural gas. Why, also, he says, developing sustainable sources of energy. So he thinks both, obviously. He said that at an energy conference Monday in Norway. He says, at this time, we actually need more oil and gas, not less. This is according to Elon Musk. I'm just going to say, he's a pretty smart guy, okay? Look at what he has produced. He's done something that Ford hasn't been able to accomplish, that Toyota hasn't been able to accomplish, that GM, Mary Barrett GM, hasn't been able to accomplish. In addition to this, you know, he's got 30,000 satellites up there beaming the internet down to Earth. He's got solar roofs. You know, he's got rocket ships to the moon. The guy is a genius. And, I give a lot of weight to things. Sometimes he just says things off the cuff. But he says that the transition to sustainable energy is one of the biggest challenges the world has ever faced, and it will take some decades to complete. Decades. Well, this goes along with what Liberty Energy guy said. He says 30 years or more where fossil fuel will dominate. I would call that decades. And I would just say that if we try to squeeze it into one decade and get it accomplished, I think there'd be a lot of not good effects. I think there'd be a lot of fallout and consequences from that.
Well, and just adaptation, right? I mean, you've got to just think of everything that runs on diesel, right? Or runs on any type of fuel. I mean, everyone eventually, right, you've got to get your, you know, all of us have to have our weed eaters and blowers, right, on, you know, on the mowers, on the electric version.
Well, not in California. You can't have a gasoline-powered lawnmower or a weed eater. None of it's got to all be electric. I would right. just think that you would have to go to an authoritarian. I mean, that's what a lot of people fear, you know, a California-like situation to crack down and make people comply within 10 years, you know, to give up all of their carbon emitting devices.
Or make it expensive, very expensive or, for you well, to hold on, hang on to them, I guess.
And that's
right?
what, you know, I mean, Obama's famous for saying, hey, we're going to make coal prices necessarily. We're going to make them go up really high, so we have to get rid of the coal plants. And I'm sure there's a lot of that at play, too, trying to make oil and gas so expensive that you have no choice but to cut back. So it's going to be a very interesting future. It's going to be a very interesting next 10, 20 years. Okay, Kyle Bass is another guy I give a lot of weight to. He's a pretty smart guy. He's a head fund manager. He says oil demand won't likely decline for 15 years. It's funny how on today all these different people are weighing in. He says it's going to take 40 years. And I think that's part of the debate. That's part of the worldwide debate. Do we force people? Or do we work together? You know, then you've got people like AOC saying, well, the planet will be done in 12 years if we don't get it done. And I think Justin Trudeau is a little bit of that ilk. Canada, again, invokes the pipeline treaty with the U.S. to defend Enbridge's Line 5. We have, you know, we were offered to get on a station in Michigan, I'm going to say about a year ago. And I didn't even know that, you know, Salem had a station in Michigan. And, boy, I tell you what, we've got a lot of followers in Michigan. What is going on in Michigan? Okay, you've got Jennifer Granholm, right, your ex-governor, who is now the energy secretary. And, of course, you've got your current governor, who was, you know, pretty authoritarian when it came to COVID. She's up for re-election, Gretchen Whitmer. But, you know, this pipeline, it's been there for years, and all of a sudden the Bad River Indian Band said it wants Line 5 shut down and removed from its reservation because of the risk of a leak and expired easements between Enbridge and the tribe. Well, Enbridge is a Canadian company, and they're saying, look, we've got a treaty with the United States on this pipeline. Earlier this month, the U.S. judge sided with Enbridge in a ruling that a federal court should hear a Michigan lawsuit. This is a Michigan lawsuit seeking to shut down the pipeline underneath the Straits of Mackinac in the Great Lakes area. So there's another oil and gas story. They had the same issues up in West Virginia with Joe Manchin. They wouldn't allow those permits to complete that pipeline, which would service New York and give them natural gas instead of heavy heating oil to heat their homes. And they finally got that through. But now you've got this issue up in Michigan, and the pipeline also flows under Wisconsin. All right, now, Nat, we've talked a lot about liquid natural gas down on the Texas coast. Our friend, Cheniere Energy, LNG, we own in one couple of our portfolios, they want to expand their Corpus Christi liquefied natural. Everybody's expanding down there. There's several players, but Cheniere is way ahead of everybody. I mean, they're the ones that are producing it. And I think they're one of the ones that got the letter from Biden saying, we don't want you exporting it. And that's didn't go over well in Europe, as Shell CEO warns that Europe's energy crisis could last for several winters. Several winters. Well, that goes along with Elon Musk saying we need more gas and oil, not less. And, of course, a lot of that issue in Europe has
yeah,
been.
Yeah, the utility bills. Utility bill stories in the UK. I mean, I think that's where they get that projection to potentially, you know, 22% inflation rate.
I was reading how many people are behind on their utility. One in six in America.
In the U.S., I saw that last week.
Yeah, 20 million.
Yeah, it's 20 million people are behind on their utility.
And we're not paying near the prices that, no wonder the market's down 314. Right? We're not paying near the prices that Europe is paying, thanks to, you know, Mr. Putin and his pipeline, which they kind of relied on, and that's really, really backfired. Okay, last thing here, a couple of chip stories. AMD had news today. They're unveiling their new Ryzen 7000 series, which is supposed to be a pretty big breakthrough in chips. But you know what? There's pressure on these stocks right now. It's down 2.92% as the market is sagging right now, down 1%. It was down 0.5%. Well, I look at all of the inverse funds every day. There's about 100 of them. And if I have to add a few at this point in time, we'll add a few at this point in time. When we come back, is anything popping today? Well, maybe some of these inverse funds. We'll see. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show.
It's turning that way at the moment.
It right? definitely is. It looks like the inverse funds are going to shine here today.
Yeah, there was an energy report in Europe where been adding to their reserves, obviously, gas-wise, and there was a report that I think it was out of Germany that or either out of the EU that that their tanks were, you know, filling up ahead of schedule or something. So from that standpoint, you had a big big natural gas sell-off in Europe. But I mean, that my guess is that that's probably wishful thinking. I'm sure that's short-lived.
Yeah, I'm not hearing
that piece of it.
Too much good coming from Europe about, you know, their gas supplies.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with, you know, we've talked a lot about, most of these stocks are energy related here today that I'm going to feature. But one of the problems we have here in the U.S. is with the solar panels are a problem because mostly they come from China. And, you know, DQ is a big supplier, Daco, which is in that controversial province in China where, I mean, we've seen video of forced labor camps up there with the Uyghur Muslims. And I keep saying, why don't we, you know, there was that big bill recently passed, $500 billion or whatever. Why don't we, like we're trying to build semiconductors here in the U.S. instead of being reliant on factories overseas, why don't we build solar panels here in the U.S.? Well, the government's not stepping forward, but First Solar out of Phoenix is pledging $1.2 billion in U.S. expansion thanks to the new climate law. So I guess there was something in it there. Probably some kind of a tax incentive, and they're going to step up to the plate and expand their solar panel manufacturing operations in the U.S. And they were really vocal about the bill not, you know, not having enough in there. I guess it's not a highly profitable thing building the solar panels themselves, but they're a necessary part of the whole, you know, the whole system. So anyways, First Solar, FSLR, that's one of the best charts in the entire market right now. There's not many stocks hitting a new high today. a new multi-year high, but you can say that about First Solar, FSLR, which I own just a tiny bit in my play account that I keep in my desk drawer. First Solar, FSLR, is going to step up their efforts to produce solar panels here in America. I'm trying to find what the incentive is. There must be one in there for producing the panels here. Okay, and then another stock that's popping today we've already mentioned, and it's also in the energy business, Freyr, F-R-E-Y. They are forming the largest joint venture ever for battery energy storage products. I talked to a guy the other day that just moved here. He went to work for one of the big gas station chains here in South Carolina, and I had a conversation. I always like to talk to people and see what they do and this kind of thing, get their opinions on things. And I said, what's going to become of all these gas stations? Isn't that the most natural thing to do is convert and he says we are woefully behind in the EV charging, but he agrees with me. He says, yeah, he says that's got to happen, is retrofitting all of our current gas stations and whatnot. He's on the retail side of things. He says that's going to change your gas station experience because now you're going to have to sit around for 30 minutes. So, you know, I can see having McDonald's or a Starbucks or whatever. You know, you're passing the time. I did read there's a technology out there that could be 5 years from now. It's in the government working on it, which would charge a battery in 10 minutes.
Well, they've got places in China where you can you drive through. It's like a Jiffy Lube. They just take all the batteries out, put new batteries in, and you keep going.
Well, yeah, okay. There's another one. That's kind of like the propane tanks in your barbecue, right?
Right, exactly.
Bring the tank. I'd hate standing in line at Home Depot to get my tank exchanged.
I just picture the Energizer Bunny in the background, you know, or I don't know. Every time we talk about batteries, I always go to the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, but the key, you know, here's what he said to me that stuck with me, and I'm going to pursue this a little further with him. He said, "Whoever wins the battery storage race." Is going to be the winner. Because now, imagine you could store all of this. You would be able to fill up a lot faster if it's already there, you know. And I don't know how it works, but I know there is a lot of, for instance, Generac. They sell generators, and you can buy battery storage modules and have them as backup, you know, if the lights go out.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, Freer. That's kind of where they're at. They're a battery energy storage company.
Yeah, it's like the Tesla Powerwall, and then of course they do the energy backups for, you know, there's other like industrial and business usages where they have they actually have, you know, energy stored, whether they got it from solar and stored it in a battery until they used it, or that's exactly right. That's there's got to be more different technology. You got to make some jump at some point.
Remember those words. Whoever wins the battery storage race, maybe we could charge up the storage with gasoline turbine. No, that wouldn't work. Generators. Well, anyways, it's a big challenge. We're here to find the companies that are involved in the whole chain. We are heavily kind of focused on energy. We have a big chunk of different energy stocks here in 2022. Okay, if you'd like to get last week's newsletter, 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.